It is a pleasure to have him here with us. I've known Gary for a while. He is the catalyst with the Florida Baptist Convention for the North area. You'll have to talk to him what the catalyst actually does and everything else. But I know he travels around all over this area. We see him often. We've done Zoom calls with him thanks to this pandemic. And so the convention really helps us out as a church and as just a body of believers in the state of Florida. And so it was a great honor to have him here. But not only do I know him from that, he was the interim pastor over at Northwest Baptist for a while. And he is actually the pastor that baptized our oldest daughter, Christy. He got the privilege of dunking her over there when she accepted Jesus as Savior. So, he's a friend as well. So if you would, please make Pastor Gary Townsend welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Bailey. Appreciate the opportunity to come and to share with you today. Catalyst basically is a chemistry term that means to start a reaction. And a chemical reaction, if it consumes the starter, then the catalyst is not really a catalyst. And so basically, my job's not to be the boss of what's going on. My job is to ask the question, come alongside churches and to celebrate what God is doing in His church. It's His kingdom, His glory, and that's why the church is where the kingdom is. It's not in the convention. Our task is to come alongside you, the church. We celebrate the good. We also can help meet some needs where churches have specific needs. And so that's really the role. Come alongside and to see what is God doing in your church. What is God doing in Hague Baptist Church? So God is busy. He has not stopped one iota because of the pandemic. You may not hear this in the newspapers, but I will tell you that there are revivals on the beaches of California. There are revivals going on the beaches of Oregon and the beaches of Washington. After the life settled down a little bit up in Minneapolis, where the epicenter of some of the protesting began in the country this year earlier, there was a group of preachers called circuit riders that went into Minneapolis and they began proclaiming the gospel in the streets. They had to look for extra places to baptize the people that were responding to the gospel. I want you to know God is not finished with what He does. He is going to complete it until the day Jesus comes back and claims His church. And so, beloved, listen, pay attention to what God is doing. He's up to great things. God gives us a special gift. It is, the Bible calls it the gift of faith. And He calls us to a life of faith. And the reason is the faith that saves us doesn't stop there. It remains with us. And faith is the gift that God gives when the Holy Spirit is bringing the conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment. Of sin, Scripture said, Jesus told His apostles, because you do not believe on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. And of judgment, because the evil one has been judged already. And so those things are in place so that we can have a life of faith that He leads us to overcome much. Faith does three dynamic works in us. Number one, we are saved by grace through faith. And that's not of you, it's the gift of God. That's where the Scripture tells us faith is a gift from God. But secondly, faith is essential for the sanctifying work of the Spirit within us. Listen, Satan had some hold in some of the lives that get saved. It's assumed that all of that goes away. Well, listen to what the Scripture says. John, writing to the church in 1 John, says, "For He was manifested, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil." Paul would go on to write about it like this. He said, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, for the tearing down of strongholds." What strongholds? The strongholds of abuse, of neglect, the strongholds of addiction, the strongholds of pride, the strongholds of jealousy, the strongholds of unforgiveness, the strongholds of those things. Once we're believers, there's still some things that God is going to use the Spirit and faith to sanctify out of us. Those old strongholds that Satan had and wants to reclaim, He will get rid of those and free us from those elements. And so faith also helps us in our overcoming, in the sanctification. And finally, Jesus spoke in the book of the Revelation, "To he who overcomes, I will give to drink of the water of life. And so faith is part of the saving, sanctifying, and overcoming work that we are to be a part of. And how does our faith grow? How do we feed it? God wrote it down for us. If we will spend time, church, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we come together Sunday to celebrate what God has been doing, your faith will grow immensely. It will significantly grow in your life. I encourage you. My wife, Susan, is here with me. She got saved on our first date. No kidding. I asked her to go to church. Her best friend was dating my twin brother. That's how I could pull that off. And so she went to church that night, and the invitation was given. My dad was the pastor. She responded. She went forward and gave her heart to Jesus. Now, there's a backstory, and I want you to keep that in mind. There's a backstory to her salvation. It wasn't because I was such a great Christian. It's simply the fact that God had put friends in her life when she was in first grade, second grade. They invited her to go to Sunday school, which she went. They invited her to go to vacation Bible school over the years. And so she had heard the gospel before. But that night, God was talking to Susan, and she listened, and she gave her life to the Lord for his forgiveness. 16 years ago, she did something that just absolutely blew me out of the water. 16 years ago, she had a Bible plan about reading the Bible through. You know, for the last 16 years, she has read the Bible through every year. I want to tell you what a change it makes whenever God gets a hold of a life through his word. I want to challenge you. If you're not in a reading plan to read the Bible through annually, I encourage you to get into one. Because it's much easier to do over 365 days than it is to catch up and try to get it done in the last month. Much easier, I can assure you of that. But beloved, let me tell you, it'll do something to you. It'll grow your faith. It'll allow the things that God desires in you to become a reality in your life. Today I want us to look in Scripture. We're going to look at actually five passages. But we're going to begin with a story that's found in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. Most messages will have a passage, 3 points, a poem, and then a conclusion. Today we're going to look at five passages and learn how the Bible is put together in such a way that it not only tells a story, it tells a backstory. And it can help us to understand why we need to be in Bible study and significance in our growth in faith. So Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. Would you stand in honor of the hearing of the reading of the Word of God? I'll just ask you to stand on this one passage. The Scripture reads, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Father, in these moments we have together, would you bring eternity to bear upon the hearts of every person here, perhaps some for salvation, others for sanctification, and others for the courage to overcome some difficult days for your glory. For you will not leave us nor forsake us, but you will guide us through the circumstances of this life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please be seated. Jesus, as the Messiah, as the Savior in the flesh, had the power of God to be able to heal. And he healed various people. In this particular occasion, it's one of the few examples in Scripture where somebody actually approaches Jesus having dealt with some issues of faith already. Jesus welcomes all who will come by faith. In fact, Jesus stirs faith. We know that the Scripture does, but the Holy Spirit does. He'll forgive our sin in salvation. He'll also give us the righteousness of God that works through us to be able to be by the power of His Spirit. In the flesh, we still can't work righteousness. But by faith, the Spirit who works in us, the works of righteousness, accomplishes much. This woman, verse 27 says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Where did she get an idea like that? No one else up until that time had ever come to touch just the robe, the bottom of the robe of Jesus. Well, I would declare to you that humility, after 12 years of having an illness, there's not a lot of you left. But she heard about Jesus. Who told her about Jesus? Somebody that had met Jesus. You know, that's the assignment of the church. That's the assignment we have, is to have conversations with people about Jesus. If the church would ever understand how much there are people all around us who desire somebody to help them come to understand who Jesus is, we would be amazed. And if we would have those conversations, we will not be embarrassed. We will find God has already shown up. And so this woman heard about Jesus. And she heard about Jesus to know that he was the one that could heal her. He was the Messiah. So she walked up to him. And in an act of humility, she touched the only part of his being that would not render him unclean. For you see, a sick person was unclean. They could not touch another person. But the interesting thing is the hem of the garment was detachable. You could take it off because it's the part that would rub the ground. In fact, it had tassels on the four corners, and they would drag the ground. And so you would detach those in order to be able to wash that part as well as the rest of the garment. And so as it was detachable, it was the only part that she could touch and not render him unclean. But I declare to you, there's more to this story than just that. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, the scripture proclaims, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past, so that the fathers, in the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So here is the messianic proclamation of who Jesus is and what he has done. What's interesting is the very first word in the book of Hebrews is the Greek word polymeros. It's where we get the English word polymer. And it's translated various times. A polymer is what happens chemically when you take two non-metallic elements and you put them together. And when they form a bond, they don't just form a bond where this multiplies here, here, and here. It's like a chain. You remember the DNA helix, the ladder looking that spirals around? This has a chain that's unbroken and it continues to extend. And that polymers are some of the greatest research going on in at least chemistry to this day. We use it a lot around our houses, nonstick pans, the plastic bags from the grocery stores, PVC, so on and so forth. Many of the products that are out there, it's amazing what they're doing. They actually can hide an army out in the desert. Don't ask me how that works. I can just tell you that that's what they actually are able to do, because they can project an image on a polymer, and it will give the appearance that nothing is there, when actually behind it there is. So I guess you create a dust cloud and then you cast it out there. But those are some of the elements that they actually have been working on. In 1839, a man by the name of Firestone Goodyear began to experiment with the rubber plant. And in experiment with it, he found out that if he added sulfur and one other non-metallic compound to the extract of the rubber plant, he could get the product he was desiring, a malleable form of rubber, which he did. We call it vulcanization, but they called it vulcanization back then, but today it's a polymer. What's God saying with the first of the book of Hebrews? He's saying this: my word, how I have been working at various times. If you'll go and read, you'll start to connect the chains, and I'll show you just how I work in your life too. So let's go over to the book of Numbers, Old Testament. Old Testament book of Numbers. Chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15, beginning in verse 37. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners." Now, where was it she touched Jesus? It was down on the tassels on the hem of the garment. Let's read on. "And you shall have the tassel, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." What if the person who told her about Jesus opened her Bible to Numbers chapter 15? And what if her occupation before she had the hemorrhage was a seamstress? What if her assignment was to take that blue thread and weave that blue thread through the hem of the garment, because the blue thread was the symbol of the high priest, and she went and touched the robe of the high priest of God? But there's more. Turn to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. I know you've got them memorized. Just kidding. If you do, see me afterwards. It comes after 56. That's how I know it's memorized. Okay, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings," it is the same Hebrew word that is translated tassel in Numbers 15. "In the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge." That day, as she was preparing to go, she had realized that the shadow of his wings would be the same as touching his hem. The idea is here that it's a detachable part of the being. See, if I'm wearing a coat as I am, if I was in the days that Jesus walked the earth, my clothing is the same as my being. And so to touch any part of my clothing would be to touch me. And that was the same with her. And so that's why she realized that in him I have a refuge. It's not the hem that's important. It's not the wings, because that would be a detachable piece further up. But It's the idea that he is the one. He is the one who can heal me. And I come to him in humility, and I come to him by faith, and he shall renew me, and he shall heal me. And then finally, let's go to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, the last chapter in the Old Testament, chapter 4. Verse 2 of Malachi chapter 4 reads this way. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. There's the word again. The same word translated as tassel, the same understanding she would have that if she could just touch the hem of his garment. Now you can understand the backstory and where it comes. Beloved, listen carefully. If you will take God's word, if you'll begin to read, open it up, through the weeks, you'll begin to have understanding and begin to see and realize, my goodness, this passage sounds familiar. And you go and realize Jesus quoted it. The Psalms tell us a lot about what it was like for him to be on the cross, what he looked like, the fact that he said, you can see all my bones, you can count my bones. It wasn't a pretty picture when Jesus was on the cross. But I share this with you for this purpose. Your faith will be multiplied. Your faith will magnify. If you will spend time in his word to make a commitment to read this through as many times as you possibly can through the rest of your life. A simple goal. Read it every year for the rest of my life. You will grow exponentially in being able to see how God has been at work in all of these. And long before this woman ever walked the face of the earth, already was in place testimony that would speak to her. And your story is still being written. And guess what's going to testify to you? God's Spirit will testify to you through his word. And there's issues in your life. There's details of your life. There are circumstances in your life that you need a guiding light to see you through. And there's only one that can guide you in righteousness. His name is Jesus, and he sends his Spirit at salvation to come in and abide. And he's the one that will lead you through his word to come to understand you are a child of God. Satan can no longer have you. But there may be things that Satan did a long time ago that he needs to uproot. And Jesus will. He'll tear down the strongholds. But you're going to have to go through the uprooting of those strongholds from you. That's what happens when Jesus is your Savior. The Bible doesn't hide this truth from us, church. Some of us are going to suffer. In fact, to follow Jesus is to suffer. And so we need to understand that suffering's not for our bad. It's for his glory. And in humility, we too can come and reach out and touch the hem of God and be made whole. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you know every heart. You know every life that is here this morning and in the hearing out in the digital world, hearing online. Father, I pray this morning that as they realize that faith is so significant. Right now, God, if your Spirit is testifying to them about their salvation, then I pray, oh God, that you would lead them to reach out and call on you, your name, Lord Jesus. And in calling on your name, to just cry out, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, be my strength. Give me your peace. Give me your salvation. And all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.